Imagine running a business where the product is, well, chance itself. Millions of rand are just changing hands in seconds, and the temptation for corruption is literally built right into the floor plan.
Yeah, it's a massive financial pressure cooker.
Exactly. So how does a government possibly regulate something like that? Welcome to this custom deep dive. Today, we are exploring the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Act of 1996, tailored specifically for you.
Right. And our mission here is really to unpack this hefty, consolidated legal document. We want to discover exactly how a government keeps such a high-stakes, high-risk industry clean, economically viable, and, you know, completely free from corruption.
Because in a normal business, you're just exchanging goods for cash.
Right. But in gambling, you are regulating an environment that requires absolute, unquestionable authority to keep it functional. And that need for control leads directly to the creation of this incredibly powerful Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board.
And I mean, the board doesn't just hand out small fines. The Act gives them what it literally calls special powers.
Oh, yeah, they are intense.
Right. They read way more like a secret police mandate than a standard regulatory guideline. We're talking about authorized officers who can just enter a licensed premises at any time, unannounced.
And with no warrant required.
Exactly, no warrant. Once they are inside, they can seize documents, commandeer computer data, and interrogate anyone on site.
Plus, the penalties really reflect the extreme urgency of their mandate. I mean, obstructing an officer or cheating can cost an operator up to 2 million rand.
Wow.
Yeah, or it can even land them in prison for up to 10 years.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to me, that sounds less like a regulatory board and more like a casino boss with a government badge. Listen to warrantless, unannounced search cross the line into, like, extreme overreach.
Well, it does sound like overreach, and honestly, in almost any other industry, it absolutely would be. But what's fascinating here is why the law is written this way.
Because gambling relies entirely on public trust.
Right. Exactly. If a game is rigged, the whole system just collapses instantly. So swift, unannounced oversight is legally baked in to immediately sever any criminal elements and ensure honest games.
Because if inspectors had to wait around for a judge to sign a warrant,
poof.
Yeah.
The digital evidence of cheating could be wiped in literally seconds.
Right. That makes total sense. So because the board wields this extreme power, the barrier to even entering the gambling business is ruthlessly strict.
Oh, it is the ultimate VIP list. They are trying to prevent inside corruption from the very start.
Right, and the disqualifications in sections 5, 29, and 30 are incredibly severe.
They really are. Like, if you hold political office, or if you're an unrehabilitated insolvent, or you have a fraud conviction, you are completely banned from holding a license.
Wow, just a blanket ban.
Yep. And even board members and their families cannot hold financial interests or accept jobs from licensees for years after their term ends.
Not to mention the financial barrier to entry is just wild. The Act outlines that the bid fee just to develop a casino in the Cape Town metro area is over 165 million rand.
Yeah, it's a massive chunk of money.
So, I mean, do these massive 165 million rand fees effectively just create an exclusionary playground solely for mega corporations?
Well, it might seem that way, but the law explicitly demands that operators have adequate means.
So they need deep pockets.
Right, because an underfunded, desperate casino is a massive risk to both the local economy and the patrons. If a casino can't pay out its winners or resorts to shady practices to stay afloat, it's a disaster.
Huh. So the high fee ensures only highly stable, scrutinized entities get a seat at the table.
Exactly.
So the government has basically built a 165 million rand fortress to keep out desperate operators. But how does this affect you, listening at home? If a law is this strict, are you breaking the law by hosting a 50 rand poker game at your kitchen table?
Actually, no. The Act takes a surprisingly pragmatic approach there. It explicitly protects what it calls social gambling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So playing bingo for a registered charity or playing an amusement game at your house is perfectly legal, provided no one profits from operating the game itself.
Okay, so the government isn't interested in policing your living room. They're focused on the big industrial scale risks.
Exactly.
But, you know, that line between public and private spaces is definitely blurring. I want to leave you with this provocative thought. The Act deems it an unsuitable method of operation to permit visibly intoxicated persons to gamble.
Right, on the physical casino floor.
But the Act also attempts to regulate electronic and internet transmissions. So how can any regulatory board possibly police the sobriety of patrons who are placing bets alone, sitting on their own living room couches?
They really can't. The regulatory fortress they built in 1996 is airtight for the physical floor, but the internet might just be the one door they can't completely lock.